Mid-mornings with Lee Chambers. Cambridge 105.
We'll be talking schooly things now with my guest today, Hazel Crane. Good morning, Hazel.
Good morning, Lee.
And you're a volunteer at the Burwell Museum and Windmill.
That's correct, yes.
And we'll talk about this exhibition, about the schools in the village first, but tell me a little bit before then about the actual museum itself.
Well, the museum I find fascinating. It's been open for 25 years now, founded in 1992. We've got a wonderful barn there, which is filled with the most amazing agricultural equipment and various laundries, kitchen equipment. Beautiful to look at, very nicely displayed. There's vintage vehicles, there's a forge, there's a Victorian shop, a schoolroom, telephone exchange, Nissen hut, and of course the windmill. And if you come on an open day, you can climb right to the top of the windmill, see how this all works and see, get really close to all the bits and pieces of the millstones, etc.
It sounds beautiful. I've seen the picture of it. It looks beautiful.
It's really good.
And are the exhibitions about life in Burwell?
Everything is based about Burwell. So as far as possible, we try to link all the exhibits back to people who would have owned the things within Burwell and what they would have done with them.
And are you a Burwell girl yourself?
No, I only moved into the village about 4 years ago.
And you've been a volunteer?
And I've been a volunteer for 3 years.
And this new exhibition that's starting on the 6th of July, which is running right through to September. We've passed the 6th of July, I beg your pardon.
It started
on the 6th of July. I've lost all track of time. It's just running basically more or less the school holidays, isn't it? And it's about the story of schools in the village from the 18th century to the present day.
Absolutely. Well, first schooling we found evidence of was back in 1750. When one man was paid £5 a quarter to educate 10 poor children. And that, to begin with, was the only schooling in the village at all. Shortly after that, Sunday schools came in, and then there was a few dame schools where a lady would take children into her own house and teach them the very, very basics, English and write, English, mathematics. And if the parents paid extra, they get taught how to do their own laundry too.
If only they did that now.
If only they did that now.
Well, I suppose, you know, Burwell is a village. How many children were there at any one time? Not masses, I'm assuming.
Not masses, no. But in 1922, there was a population of 2,000. We're now a population of just over 6,000. So we've had rapid growth fairly recently.
And even if there aren't many children, they still need educating.
They still need educating, because without learning that fact, you'd get nowhere in life.
So where did the idea for this exhibition come from?
While I was going through the archives, we found an employment application form for a lady called Florence Moore Carter, and she was applying for a job of head teacher in Soham High School. She, fortunately for us, didn't get the job, but we got her application form, and then she became one of our head teachers the next year at St Mary's School in the village. And a lot of people still remember her with affection.
And what kind of period was she there for?
Well, she was there from 1942 until 1970s.
But this exhibition goes all the way back to mid-1700s.
It certainly does. First of all, you've got the schooling I told you about. And then a bit later on from that, Miss Sarah Ball decided that there needed to be some sort of education for children without linkage to a church, because the previous one was paid for by the church. And so she, with parents' help, set up the British School in 1846. They fundraised by having coffee mornings and various similar things which we all know about nowadays, and built a massive building. It was just one big empty room, and that was the school. And that school has continued. The actual building was still there around about 1940s, 1950s and longer. But the site is still the one that's currently used for the school in the village at the moment.
Wow. And this Sarah Ball must have been quite a woman to have raised all that money.
She was quite young. She was 18, 19 at the time. And she actually died a couple of years later of consumption. So she never really saw what was going on. But she left a wonderful legacy for the village.
And our picture of our image, I think, of old-fashioned schooling, Victorian schooling, it's not a favourable one. Is that what you found? Was it quite harsh?
I think so. I mean, the idea of being a British school, all the children would have been in straight lines, not talking unless they are allowed to for the past lesson. And at that time, a lot of the older children would be teaching the younger children. nowadays we actually get teachers instead of pupils teaching us, which is much better.
And what about the record keeping? Things like punishment and school attendance?
Oh, punishment. I presume at that stage people got punished, but legally you didn't have to keep a punishment book until 1907. And we've actually got the punishment book for St Mary's School in the village. The first girl who ever got whacked, caned, two strikes on her hand was someone called Florence Warren. And she got the punishment for being impertinent.
But answering back, basically.
Answering back, yes. And that particular headmistress went on to cane a total of 259 times.
During her time
during
there?
During a 15-year period. She really... And
yes.
Some of the reasons were very poor, to my mind. Children were late, children not paying attention, children untidy. It's not really what we call a modern punishment offence. Fortunately, you can't cane anyone anymore.
That's true. And you've set up a Victorian schoolroom, haven't you, at the museum? So we
yes,
can see what it looks like for
itself. We've developed it a bit more. There was one there before and we've developed it a bit more. And we've put a lot of posters up explaining how things worked. And if you open a desk lid, there's a bit of more of the story in each desk. So I think it should be fascinating.
It does sound really interesting. And because you're bringing it up to the present day, you can use the memories, presumably, of people who are still in the village.
Yes, we've interviewed quite a few people. We've recorded their voices, so we've got those to play. And if anyone has got any more memories or photographs, that would be absolutely fantastic to let us have them.
Your email is education@burwellmuseum.org.uk.
That's correct, yes.
So if we came along, what would it look like? We walk through the front door of Burwell Museum. What's the first thing we see?
The first thing you'd see as you walk in the front door is the big barn, which is well worth stopping to look at. And inside that, there's various nameplates that were on some of the schools which have since been demolished. If you go around the corner and up the stairs, you get into the Victorian schoolroom and the telephone exchange set. So please explore that. Round the back, we've got an exhibition room, which includes the main exhibition for the schooling. So we've got lots of posters up there, artefacts for you to handle. We've got books of all the newspaper cuttings and photographs that we have currently of the schools, what's happened in schools and anything that's reported. Things like prize givings. The schools used to actually publish in the newspaper who had won which prize. And there are lovely records of the names of children who were actually there.
And this sounds quite an interactive exhibition as well.
There's a lot to read, there's a lot to look at and pick up, so it's quite fun. There's sand trays for children or adults to try writing in, which is what the very early young children would have been writing in.
Sand trays?
Sand trays.
Wow. That sounds great. It sounds really good. And you're a volunteer there. What actually do you do? Are you an archivist or you show people around?
I don't show people around at the moment, but I mainly go in and as new items come into the museum, if it's decided to accession them, keep them in the collection. I describe them on the computer and I write the number on the item so that we can always know where it is and where it came from, who gave it to us and any other information. Just a big logbook of what's going on, but it's computer-based.
And it's 25 years old,
the museum. Is 25 years old. They had a lovely birthday celebration at the Burwell Feast earlier on this year.
What a very satisfying job you have, because you're seeing this museum grow and learning a lot about your environment as well at the same time.
Oh, it's really good. I mean, I'm also attached to the school because I work in one of the our school clubs. So I go into the school quite a lot, and to see how the current school is changing, developing, and talking to some teachers who can remember our current school from 20 years ago and can remember the museum being set up. It's very, very fascinating.
And you can tell the children they're very lucky.
Oh, definitely.
Compared to before.
Yes.
Well, as I say, people have memories and experiences of schools in Burwell that they'd like to share with the museum. It's education@burwellmuseum.org.uk to email. If you want to just take a look online at the museum, find out more about the museum, it's burwellmuseum.org.uk.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Hazel, for coming in and talking to us about it. This exhibition is going on till the 7th of September. And as you said, I've been to the windmill I don't think I've actually been to the museum, and the windmill itself is beautiful.
Yes, it's well worth a visit.
Yeah, the whole area, well worth a visit. I'll go back and look at the museum.
I do.
Thank you, Hazel. Nice
Thank
to chat.
You, Lee.